As I alluded to in the email, this week marks the beginning of a second cycle of the OU's Nach Yomi initiative, shiurim given by women, for women, every day, a perek in a short shiur, audio shiur, beginning on Thursday, and it's a tremendous opportunity for women around North America to join together in completing the entire Nevi'im and Ksuvim in just 2 years, I believe. And with the perhaps encouragement of our shul president, who remarked how Nach is something that men also need to be learning, not just women, thought it would be appropriate this week especially to devote our shiur this evening to the Haftorah of Parshas Yisro. And I may not get to the entire Haftorah. If you look at the Haftorah, which is in Yeshayahu Perek Vav, the minhag of Sfardim seems to be to conclude with a shorter version of the Haftorah, beginning with and ending with Perek Vav, and just a Perek Vav alone, that's it. Ashkenazim, it seems, have the minhag to add a few psukim more from Perek Zayin and a couple from Perek Tes. But we'll look just at Perek Vav this evening just to get a brief introduction to what is happening in the Haftorah, and with a special focus on practical and relevant lessons. And this is something Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz in his series of Sfarim Tiv Haftoros focuses on to a great extent. We know that the Nevuos that were written down by the Nevi'im are Nevuos that are necessary for all future generations. If it wasn't relevant for all future generations, it would not have been included in the written Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And therefore, Rabinovitz, when he looks through each of the Haftoros and writes on each of them in this Sefer, he specifically looks to focus on what it is that we can take as a practical lesson for our day-to-day lives from each and every Nevuah that we read in the Haftorah. Let's begin with Yeshayahu Perek Vav. If you have Chumashim, that's helpful. If not, I will try to pull it up on the screen. And before we even get to the psukim themselves, it's fascinating to note that the Malbim, in the very beginning of Yeshayahu, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, writes that, chronologically speaking, the very first Nevuah that was given by Yeshayahu Hanavi was the Nevuah we are about to read in Perek Vav, in this week's Haftorah. So although in the Navi it appears to be a later Nevuah, you have Perek Aleph through Perek Hay, but the Malbim writes, quoting from the Mechilta, quoting from Chazal, that in fact the very first Nevuah that was given by Yeshayahu is this Nevuah of this week's Haftorah. So looks like we're jumping into the middle of something, but according to Chazal, this is really the very beginning of Yeshayahu's Nevuahs to Klal Yisrael. So let's take a look and by now see what we can learn together. We'll go through a couple psukim at a time and then pause for some discussion and then move on. So the very opening of Sefer Yeshayahu begins with Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uziyahu, during the year of the death of the king Uziyahu. Rashi Rabbi tells us that although the literal translation is the death of the king Uziyahu, really this is a reference to when Uziyahu was stricken with Sora'as in the 27th year of his reign. He's referred to as having died because Chazal say that a mitzora is chashuv kames. But nonetheless, this is a reference to when he was stricken with Sora'as. And Yeshayahu says, Vo'era es Hashem yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. I saw in my vision, I saw God sitting on an exalted throne. Al kisei ram v'nisa, that phrase familiar to us from the tefillah on Yom Tov morning or Shabbos morning, Hakel b'satzumos ozecha, Hagadol b'chvod shemecha, Hagibel anetzach v'anora b'nor osecha, Hamelech hayoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. That phrase here is used by Yeshayo. Yoshev al kisaram v'nisa. God is sitting in Yeshayo's nevuah on an exalted throne. V'shulav meleim es ha-hechal. It was as if, again, in Yeshayo's vision, that the very, very bottom of God, so to speak, the extent of God's reach, God's kiveyachal, the edge of, be it the raglayim, so to speak, says Rashi, reached down to the heichal, reached down to the Beis HaMikdash. God's footstool was reaching to the Beis HaMikdash, but he himself was way up in Shemayim. And Rashi again alludes to the fact that this is an allusion, a reference to the fact that Uzziyahu was being faulted because he had sought to be makdir ketores, to seize the kahuna for himself, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was judging him for that violation. Now, the nevuah is being read this week in Parashas Yisro, and this Rav Yisachar Yaakovson writes in his Sefer Chazon HaMikra, there is always a link between the Haftorah and the Parashas HaShavua. What is the link? We'll soon see one theme in common, but more broadly speaking, just as Klal Yisro in this week's Parasha saw Gilui Shechina at Har Sinai by Kabbalah Satorah, they saw Gilui Shechina, so to Yeshayo in this week's nevuah and his Haftorah that we're reading this week, is describing the vision he saw of seeing the Shechina, seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu al Kisei Ram V'Nisa. Hence the more broad, general link between the Parasha and the Haftorah. And then Yeshayahu continues and says as follows, Srafim Omdim Mima'alo. One type of angel, we know there are different names for angels, there's Chayos, there's Ofanim, there's Malachim, there are Srafim. So the Srafim, the fiery angels, are standing mima'alo alongside HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right by that Kisei Ram V'Nisa, the Yeshayo pictured. He sees these seraphim standing there. And he describes the malachim as follows, the seraphim more accurately. Sheish kenafayim le'echad. Each of these seraphim was pictured as having six wings. Bishtayim yichasef anav. With two, the saraf, this angel, would cover his face. Rashi explains he shouldn't see the Shechina. He shouldn't see the Shechina. B'shtayim yichaseh raglav. With two wings, the angel, the saraf, covered his legs. And that, Rashi says, is a sign of tznius, modesty, covering oneself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also a very important lesson. There is always in halacha, in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, an emphasis on the need for tznius, even when one thinks that he or she is alone in the room, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there always, and the need for tznius in the presence of the Baruch Shalom is also a very important lesson, and here this is expressed even on the part of the malachim, again as understood by Rashi, engaging in a conduct of tznius in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by covering their kevayochel, their legs. And then ubishtayim ye'ofef, with two wings they actually fly. Says Rav Gamliel ben Avitz as follows, those two wings that they use to fly is representative of their fulfilling their mission. They are called seraphim because they are fiery. They possess this enthusiasm to do that mission, to perform the ratzon habore, to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them to do. Now, the Kedushas Levi, the Levi Tzchir Berditchev, has a fascinating insight into this pasuk, and this is cited in Sefer Mishpatzos Zav. The Kedushas Levi is found in Parshas Bo. He says the following: the pasuk describes the seraphim as omdim mima'al lo. The seraphim were standing; the angels were standing alongside the Kisei HaKavod. Says the Kedushas Levi of Levi Yitzchak Berditchev as follows. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world, Tzimtzem bibehi ruso kifi echos hamekablim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to constrict himself, so to speak, had to limit his exposure, so to speak, to enable the recipients to tolerate that illumination, that brightness of the Shechina. However, says Rabbi Yitzchak, La'olam hasrafim kefi bechinasam. The srafim, the chayos, the malachim, the various different types of angels, they are given a certain amount of ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. They are able to tolerate a certain degree of revelation of Shekhinah, but that's it. That's the way they remain forever. They are locked into place. He said this. He says, "Vehem tamid b'madrega echad kifi echus kabalasam b'yom hibaram." They're created a certain way. They can tolerate, if you will, a certain degree of gilui Shekhinah, and that's the way they remain for the rest of their existence. He says, "Lo yabet lamala m'madrega so." They can't look above where they're at, and they can't look below where they're at. He says that's the pshat in the pasuk here. He says, on the one hand, srafim omdim, they are standing, they are stationary. That's where they are. That's where they will remain. That's where they have always been. And the wings that the pasuk describes, they use to cover their face, represent they can't aspire for anything higher, anything greater in ruchnius. The wings the pasuk describes to cover their feet implies they can't sink below where they are. They are fixed and set into place. But Yisrael Am Kedosho, says Reb Levi Yitzchak, Klal Yisrael, through Torah, through mitzvos, we are capable of being Ola Mimadrega Lamadrega, climbing higher and higher. We're not limited or constrained to where we're at when we're created. Our life can be a journey of ascent. Unlike the Seraphim who are Omdim, Klal Yisrael, a Jew, is able to ascend constantly because of his Torah and because of his mitzvos. So that's Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev. We now move on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, a famous pasuk because it's part of our tefillah. V'kara zeh el zeh v'yamar. These srafim call out to one another. They call out to one another so that they should sing their praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, simultaneously. Each one looking to the other. And then they call out in unison, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, that God is holy, holy, holy. The three repetitions of this description of Kadosh, perhaps according to some, imply that as much as you think you comprehend the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, he's far above what we can comprehend. I believe that's sort of Victor Miller's suggested explanation of this pasuk. Kadosh, you think you can know that God is Kadosh, then you think again, he's Kadosh, he's even more than I comprehended him before. And you think, now you understand him, he's even more Kadosh, he's even above that which I thought I understood before. Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond, beyond, beyond our comprehension. And the word Kadosh, Rav Shimon Schwab writes, implies, as we know, separation. Kadoshim tiyu, the pasuk says in Chumash, which means prushim, according to Rashi. You should be separate, distinct, distant. And so here as well, Kadosh Baruch Hu is on the one hand, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. He is so far above and beyond what we can comprehend. He's so distant, so separate, so much holier than we are capable of understanding. And yet at the very same time, Melo Chol Haaretz Kevodo. At the very same time, his Kedusha fills the entire earth's existence. Which means that as distant and as separate as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our comprehension because he's so Kadosh, but his oversight is constantly upon us. He is constantly with us. His presence is always there, always felt. The Baal Shem Tov, quoted in, again, Sefer Mishpat Zozov, says on this phrase, Melo Chol Haaretz Kevodo, that the Kedusha of a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be found even in the physical earth around us. Yes, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. He is so far holier and so far separate and distinct and distant from us on the one hand. But at the same time, Meloch Al Haaretz, there is Kedusha in everything around us. Even when I'm engaged in Gashmias, in eating, in drinking, in sleeping, I can infuse that Gashmias with Kedusha when I do it L'Shem Shemayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloch Al Haaretz Kevodo. His Kedusha is everywhere, even in the world around us. And here again, Rabbi Sechi Yaakovson in the Sefer Chazon HaMikra writes, this is again a theme that unites both the Haftorah and the Parsha. We said before that the common theme is revelation, seeing Shekhinah at Matan Torah, Yeshayahu Navi seeing the Kisei HaKavod in his vision. But this is also a more perhaps specific theme. The theme of Kedusha is both in the Parshas HaShavua and here in the Navi. In the Navi, the theme that of Kedusha is in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet in the Parshas HaShavua, the theme of Kedusha is where? In reference to Klal Yisrael. Vatem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. We are told prior to Matan Torah that you, Klal Yisrael, must be and have the ability to be a kingdom of priests, of those engaged and focused on the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation. Which Ramban explains to mean Goy Kadosh, L'davka Bekel HaKadosh. That we can and must strive to be Atamtil Malchas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, a nation of Kedusha, who are therefore capable of connecting with the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam was Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It was so Kadosh. Or as Ramban quotes, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, but we can nonetheless connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cling to Him, because we too have that ability to aspire to become a Goy Kadosh as well. And this, as Ramban, is both in this world and in the next. By being a Goy Kadosh, by living lives of Kedusha, we can connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, but also in the next world as well. We now move on to the next few psukim. After the Malachim sing this Shira, they proclaim this Shira of Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakos, the psukim then tell us, Vayonu'u Amos Hasipim, the doorposts of the Heichel of the Mikdash, which Yeshayahu pictured HaKadosh Baruch Hu's footstool reaching down to the Heichel, reaching down to the Mikdash. Those doorposts trembled, they moved, Mikol HaKorei, because of the force of the proclamation of the Malachim of the Seraphim. Vabayasi Malay Ashan, and the Beis HaMikdash was pictured by Yeshayahu as being filled with smoke. Now, according to Rashi, the Heichel filling with smoke was indicative of or symbolic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger at Uzziyahu for bringing the Ketores, which was, of course, brought by the Kohanim, which fills the inside of the Mikdash with smoke. When Uzziyahu, who wasn't a Kohen, brought that Ketores, so in reaction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger is being visited upon him, and it is being viewed as if the Heichel is now filling with smoke. And then Yeshayahu says something in Pasuk Hey, which is relatively well-known Pasuk, for the following reason. Yeshayahu, having pictured this image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees the Malachim proclaiming Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Va'omar oili, woe is to me, says Yeshayahu, ki nidmesi, I am deserving of death for not being worthy of seeing the Shekhinah as I just did. Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz points out that rather than become arrogant and proud that he was zocha to see such an unbelievable image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah, his reaction though was one of, I'm not worthy. The reaction of an anav is, I wasn't deserving to that to be zocha to that revelation. I'm not good enough. I wasn't deserving of it. And then he adds, why? Ki ish temeis fasayim anochi. Because I am a man with impure lips. Implying, I'm not capable of singing Shira the way those malachim are, to recite the Shira of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. My mouth, my lips are not deserving of such. And in addition, he then adds, and here's where Yeshayahu was faulted by Chazal. Ubesoch am temei svasayim anochi yoshev. In addition to my own lips being impure, I am dwelling amongst a nation of impure lips. Now, he wasn't lying. He was expressing criticism of Klal Yisrael, who in fact were guilty of sin. And he's stating that it's not just my own shortcomings that make me unworthy of seeing Shekhinah, but it's also that I am part of a nation, in a generation, where they too are not worthy. In fact, Radak refers us to a pasuk later on, Yeshayahu, which speaks of Klal Yisrael as kol ped dover nevala. They spoke uncleanliness, kol ped dover nevala. So they, Klal Yisrael, were in fact, yes, they were an Am Temei Sifasayim. And Yeshayahu is not lying when he says that, because the Navi itself indicates that later on, when they are described as koped dover nevala, and Yeshayahu writes, Yeshayahu says, "Kis melech Hashem tzvakos ro enai." I saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning I wasn't worthy of that, and I'm not worthy of reciting Shira because I myself am Tmeis Ish Tmeis Vasayim, and Klal Yisrael, amongst whom I live, are also a people who are Dover Navala, as the Navi later says, and therefore they too are an Am Tmei Svasayim. They are an Am Tmei Svasayim. Now, this reference of Koped Dover Navala is in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Zayin, where the Navi there describes Klal Yisrael as a people who are Dover Navala, who speak Dover Maguna, says Matsudos, they speak in an inappropriate fashion. And Yeshayahu therefore is saying that I am not worthy of reciting Shira of Kadosh, 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 because I myself, I am an Ish Tmei Svasayim, and I live amongst a generation of people who are also Am Tmei Svasayim. And Yeshayahu was faulted for this reference. And we'll see right now in the next few psukim, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, a remarkable Musar. Yeshayahu then immediately describes, Vayof Eli Echa Min Asrafim, so one of those Srafim that I envisioned flies toward me, Ubiyad Ritzpa, holding a coal, a burning hot coal in his hand, but Melkachayim in tweezers, or in, is that the best word? Melkachayim, tweezers, pliers, he was holding a coal in this tool, this implement, in this instrument. Lokach me'al ha-mizbeach, it was taken off the mizbeach. Vayaga alpi, he presses it to my mouth. Vayomer, he says to me, hinei noga zel svasecha, this is being touched to your lips. V'sor avonecha v'chatascha tuchupar. And only now will your sin be removed and forgiven. In other words, he was being punished for having spoken that way of Klal Yisrael, that they were an Am Tmei Svasayim. And the Chafetz Chaim picks up on this. We'll look first at Rashi. Rashi says right there, why was he being pushed into contact with this burning coal from the Mizbeach? Rashi says, Mipnei she'amru dalturia dalturia al Yisrael. Both Yeshayahu here and Eliyahu Navi elsewhere spoke accusingly of Klal Yisrael, spoke incriminatingly of Klal Yisrael. Zekaram am tmei svasayim, Yeshayahu says they're a nation of impure lips. And Eliyahu Navi speaks of Klal Yisrael as ozvu brisacha, they've abandoned your covenant, God. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malach, Ritzotz pe sha'amar dalturia abanai. Press against or punish the mouth that spoke negatively about my children, which is why that coal was pressed against Yeshayahu's lips. And the Chafetz Chaim says, remarkably, he says, number one, this was a valid criticism. Number two, Yeshayahu is including himself in this criticism. He says, first, I am an Ish Tmei Svasayim, and then he adds, and I am living amongst an Am Tmei Svasayim. And despite that, says the Chafetz Chaim, he was punished, Chazal tell us. And what you see from here, says the Chafetz Chaim, is that even when one is denigrating himself along with others, even when what he says is correct, and even though he wasn't looking to humiliate them, to embarrass them, he was just explaining that he's not deserving of seeing the Shekhinah because he is not deserving and his generation is not deserving. And nonetheless, he was punished for that. How careful one must be, says the Chafetz Chaim, never to speak negatively about others. Now this Maamar Chazal is quoted, I believe, by Rav Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal in his Sefer Ema Banim Smecha. It's cited as well by Rav Yaakov Filber in his Sefer Yalas HaShachar. And they are both referring to the bitter accusations that were being flung from one sector of Klal Yisrael against the other, back in the writings of Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtel, was in the 1940s, 1930s, referring to the war being waged between the Zionist and non-Zionist factions in Klal Yisrael, and the accusations are being flung against one another. And they both write, based on this, that whether one's accusations are correct is irrelevant. Yeshayahu was punished for speaking, as Rashi said, Dalturia al Yisrael, for speaking denigrations against Klal Yisrael. One can never speak negatively about any faction in Klal Yisrael. When the Or Sameach of Aryeh Zev Rabino writes in his biography of Rav Meir Simcha Divinsk, when Rav Meir Simcha Divinsk would be in the presence of someone who would denigrate the irreligious early settlers of Eretz Yisrael, he would always respond, "Don't criticize them. They are kashri yidden, engaged in Yishuv Haaretz." He would always find something positive to say about them. He wouldn't tolerate hearing denigration of other Jews. And that, says of Teichtel, was seen here from this Rashi, from this Musar, this Chazal, and the Psukim here in Yeshayahu. We now move on to Pasuk Ches. Yeshayahu then says, "Va'eshma es kol Hashem omer." I then hear the sound of the Ribbono Shel Olam calling out, "Esmi eshlach umi yelach lanu." Who should I send and who will go for us? Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking for a Navi to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. And Rashi explains that it wasn't such a simple task. Rashi explains that Amos had tried to give Tochacha to Klal Yisrael, and they insulted him. They didn't listen to him. And Kadosh Baruch Hu now is looking for another Navi to take up this task. It wasn't all so pleasant necessarily. And yet nonetheless, Yeshayahu immediately responds, "Va'omar hinini, here I am, shlacheni, send me." So Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz says, beautifully, he says, so often there is an opportunity available for someone to take advantage of. There is a need to perform, to do for Klal Yisrael, for the Tzibur, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that so often we'll ask volunteers to do something, and they're not quickly rushing to respond to the call. Now, it might be a Tzorchei Tzibur need. We might be asking for volunteers to do something on behalf of the shul, on behalf of the Tzibur. And you can send out a shul email and attach a Google Doc. Please fill in your information to volunteer to assist. And sadly, not always does everyone rush to respond. Says of Gamliel, Yeshayahu right away. Wasn't such an easy job. He almost tried, and he was insulted as a result by Klal Yisrael, and they refused to listen to him. And yet Yeshayahu jumps at the opportunity. "Va'omar hinani shlacheni." I'm here. I'm ready. Send me. Whatever the task is, I'm willing to accept it upon myself. So Kadosh Baruch Hu then says to Yeshayahu, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud, "Vayomer leich v'amart l'amazeh." So God said to me, "Go and tell this people, Shimu Shamoa Va'al Tavinu. You hear, but you don't understand. Ru'u Ra'o Va'al Tedo. You see, but you don't acknowledge." Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael through Yeshayahu, "I've sent you messages. I've sent you messengers. I've sent you Nevi'im to give you Musar. And yet you seem to be listening. You seem to be seeing, but you don't take it to heart. You just don't seem to get the message. You don't react appropriately." Meaning, says Rabbi Gamliel, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us as well on a regular basis, perhaps daily basis, messages, moments of inspiration, musar, lessons, and yet so often we fail to take it to heart. We might hear on occasion an inspiring Musar shmooze from someone, but we kind of like just let it slide right over. Sails over us. Shimu shamoa, you hear, va'al tavinu, but you don't understand deeply. Ru'u ra'o, you see something, va'al teido, but you don't acknowledge. You don't take it to heart. Pasuk then says, Pasuk Yud, hashmein lev ha'amazeh va'aznav hachbeid. This nation's heart has been fattened. Their ears are heavy. The Einav Hasha, their eyes are sealed. Penyira be'einav, uva'oznav yishma, ulavava yavin v'shav verafalo. Because when these people sees God's wonders, they hear the Musar. And only then, when their heart will understand and they will repent, then they will be cured. Now, the way Rav Gamliel explains this pasuk is that he's saying as follows. The reason Klal Yisrael is not listening and their eyes are closed and their ears are heavy is because they don't want, the Yetzirah doesn't want them to see the Musar, hear the Musar, and then to do tshuva, and then to be cured, spiritually speaking. So the Yetzirah prevents them from hearing, from seeing, from reacting the way they should. The way Shimon Schwab, as quoted in Mishpat Zohar, explained it is, why is it that Klal Yisrael has a difficult time in seeing and hearing the Musar and doing tshuva? It's because Hashmein Lev of Lev HaAmazeh. We've become fattened in the luxuries of Galus. When we adopt a certain lifestyle of indulgence and excess, Hashmein Lev HaAmazeh, we enjoy the way we're living. We don't want to be inspired to change because it's too comfortable the way it is. I don't want to have to give it up. I don't want to have to do things differently. I'm enjoying the excess of gashmius, of pleasure, of taiva, of hana. It's the Hashmein Lev HaAmazeh that memela makes my ears and eyes unable to hear and unable to see the Musar, because I don't want to then have to change and do tshuva upon hearing and seeing these messages. And the parak concludes with the Navi saying, Va'omar, and I said, Yeshayo, ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Masay Hashem, how much longer will this go on for? Va'yomer, and God says, the cities will be desolate of population, of people. There'll be no one in the houses. The land will be desolate and abandoned. Meaning, if they don't listen to the Musar, if their eyes and ears continue to be sealed to the Musar, to the Tochacha, to the messages of the Nevi'im, then it will eventually reach the point where the land will be destroyed and desolate. And obviously the Musar is, if only they would listen before that point. There's always the Musar messages that are being offered in advance of the severe punishment that will then sadly follow if those messages are ignored. But that's what it might come to if the Musar messages are ignored. And Pasuk Yud Beis, the Navi says, V'richak Hashem es ha'adam, God will distance the man, V'rabba ha'azuva b'kerav ha'aretz, then the land will become completely abandoned. Not just desolate, they'll be sent into Gullus. But the Pasuk concludes, V'od ba'asiriya, there are still going to be 10 more kings that will rule in Klal Yisrael before this occurs, before the Churban. There still will be 10 more kings. This is how some Mefarshim explain this phrase. There still will be 10 more kings who will rule after Uzziyahu, before the Churban in the time of Tzidkiyahu, and then B'shava V'haysa L'va'er, and then the land will be destroyed. Ka'ela V'cha'alon. But here we conclude now the Nevuah, this parak, with perhaps a positive light. It will be desolate like an Ela and an Alon. Two types of trees, perhaps an oak tree. Ko'ela v'ka'alon. The land will be desolate, but like a tree. How so? Asher bishaleches, even when it casts off all its leaves, and it looks like it's dried and desolate and abandoned, matseves bum, it still stands firm. And so too, that's how the Gullus and the Churban will be as well. Zera Kodesh Matzavta. The holy nation of Klal Yisrael, even though they will be distanced from the land and cast into Gullus, and the land will be abandoned and desolate and emptied of its inhabitants, but nonetheless, Zera Kodesh Matzavta. the holy descendants of Klal Yisrael, despite being in Golos, will continue to be firmly rooted. Firmly rooted. They will maintain that stability, that Kedusha, until they ultimately will be redeemed. And it is on that note that the Navi concludes this particular Nevuah. In Iris Farm, it's the end of Perek Vav, but it's also a parasha, a paragraph in the scroll in the Navi itself, on a bit of an upbeat, sad note, if you will. Sad because describing what's going to happen if the Musar messages are not heeded. It will ultimately result in abandonment of the land of Golos, of destruction. But at the same time, the Zera Kodesh Matzavta, like the strong, firm oak tree, looking like it is dried out and emptied of its leaves, it still stands firm and will be restored once again with a change of seasons to its previous blooming state of leafy appearance. So to Klal Yisrael as well, despite being in Golos, as we are, we will continue to maintain that Zera Kodesh state of stability until we are Zocha to return to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll conclude the share this week with that end of that Nevuah, and wish everyone a wonderful evening and a wonderful rest of the week.